You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all?
Yeah. I never meant to kiss about you.
Ain't giving up a second thought about you. No. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me. You gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
Me what your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a rare disease.
Running like a rare disease. Get some people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You gotta learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope you're well today. It's going to be a great weekend, so I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it's not and it has to get done, you're going to get it done and you're going to do it safely. That's why we honor you, revere you, respect you, and love you, because you don't procrastinate. You get it done. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. If you want to listen to this program, just go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs dated and titled. Or make it easy, babaoshi.net. Babaoshi, OSHI.net. And there you can access those programs as well. We have a dynamic program today. I'm going to get with my guest, Brother Bashir Muhammad Patah Akinyele. In a moment, I want to read the Inye Sesim, but I'm not going to do any announcements because I want to give this brother as much time as possible. I appreciate him, and I know he's an educator, and a lot of times his time is taken up. So I'm going to read 3 days of the Inye Sesim, as I always do on Friday, the Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. August 12th. History shows that it does not matter who is in power or what revolutionary forces take over the government. Those who have not learned to do for themselves and have to depend solely on others never obtain any more rights or privileges in the end than they had in the beginning. Dr. Carter Godwin Woodson, Carter G. Woodson, one of my favorites. The mental side infecting some of us is so advanced that they literally trust and rely on historical enemies to do what is best for us. So gullibly are these individuals that they even actually believe that the public and the private decisions made, which keeps us submissive to others' agenda against us, turn us away from their very essence and are sane and democratically made by us. The most critical area in which this self-defeating insensibility is found through is the military, including intelligence gathering and the police. For despite the abundance of evidence to the contrary, they've had an unshakable faith in Yoruba's will and desire to protect and serve them as they do their own. Warriors know better. They know that Yoruba will kill for nothing and us for even less. They know that the genocidal agenda against us is unremitting and conscious. They know that it must stop or we will be no more. And they know that if they do not defend us, we will never again be able to truly be African. So for them, militarily, the question is always, who's going to take the weight of building and defending those around us who build African sovereignty? Affirm, all of my learning moves us toward creating independence. Affirm, All of my learning moves us toward creating independence. Independence, that's what this program is about. Independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people by any means and all means necessary. August 13th, I see my people, I see all over the world. We are fighting for freedom. We need each other. Ashe, Brother Bomani. One of the most painful, deliberating issues any Africans earnestly working as nation builders will face is the feeling of isolation that comes with feeling that they are alone or only one of a few in doing serious nation building work on this planet, because they only see a few, if any, around them who are also engaged in this work. Dr. John Henry Clark, Nana Clark, was wise in making the point about the need for rearing warriors who would tolerate the loneliness of struggle. He was not just talking to be talking. The difficulty involved in often seemingly doing the work alone is real and emotionally draining. Outside, Urugu's institutionalized anti-African aggressions require a superhuman effort to keep the forces of racist oppression at bay. Inside, within, we can only loosely defend as a conscious community the acceptable levels of incompetence, immaturity, games, excuses, even psychotic self-hatred among those claiming to be African is bewildering and, as a result, deeply discouraging. Still, there is no doubt that we need each other. However, we need each other to be sane. We need to know that those we work with know that we are one and are selfishly acting accordingly. For our own sanity, we need to know without having to see, we need to know that everywhere we are on planet Earth, there are those of us like-minded and character who are fighting with us for the liberation, empowerment, and sovereignty of African people. Affirm, I know that I need other warriors, and I see them at work. Affirm, I know I need other warriors, and I see them at work. August 14th. It is not enough to encourage our children to dream. We must teach them to have vision. A dream is a wishful thought, a momentary action. Yet a vision is a destination that leads to infinite possibilities. It is our job to make sure that the education of our children receive is an African ancestral map, leading our children to the success beyond what we as parents and educators can give them and what they can imagine. Queen Thais. For Africans, nation building is the process by which a nation is rebuilt. Nation building involves the social and cultural reorganization of African people globally towards the reconstruction of the spiritual, psychological, and physical African nation. It is the process through which African people become sovereignly empowered as a politicized, self-defining, self-respecting, and self-directing world, people who consciously pursue their interests in the face of an antagonistic others. The call of nationhood and the conditions that brought us to this desperate point in the first place require that we accomplish the phenomenal collective feat with our ancestral and our historical remembrance to the fullest extent of our capabilities as a people wherever we live on this planet, without fear, apprehension, or regret over the decisions to be African. Nation building is an action, a practice, a functional application of vision. It requires that concerted effort of all conscious African people, instilling and galvanizing the motivation necessary for our students to focus their energies and passing on them and the skills required to do the critical work. Fall within the role of the centered educator. That's who I have with us today, the centered educator. We must equip every African child within our purview with everything they need to build African culture and society from scratch if need be. Affirm, I teach children to be visionaries. Affirm, I teach children to be visionaries. The Inye Sesim of daily revolutionary thought. The Inye Sesim of daily revolutionary thought. Brothers and sisters, I'm honored to have with us today
Brother Bashir Muhammad Bata Akinyele out of Newark, New Jersey, an educator par excellence, a dedicated brother. Brother Bashir, how are you?
Hotep. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Can you hear me, brother?
I can hear you loud and clear.
All right. Brother, woo! Powerful introduction, my brother.
Well, thank you. I try to get the interest and try to get the information out as best I can, man.
No, man, that's powerful. Yeah. That's powerful, brother. If I could, I want to add to that.
Sure. Please do.
Let me first begin by giving thanks to the creator of the heavens and the earth, a creator that is called by many ancient names in the world, such as Yahweh, God, Allah, Dios, Olodumare. But the oldest name for the creator in human history is Amun-Ra.
I say.
This word, Amun-Ra, for the creator of the heavens and the earth, comes from the African Nile Valley civilization called Ancient Kemet, known to the world as Egypt. Amun-Ra comes from the world's first writing system called Medu-Neter. Europeans and Arabs call it hieroglyphics. Amun-Ra means the hidden one, the unseen one, the prime mover of the universe and all living things. That might be too deep for some people, my brother, but this is time for Awakening Radio.
That's right.
Show, all right? We got to get deep.
That's,
all right?
That's right.
I mean, you challenge everyone to come on the radio show and get deep. All right?
Either come with it or stay at home, brother.
No doubt. Know? Absolutely. Absolutely. All right? And I say all that because the world and Black people, African people, must know our contributions to all human civilizations and religions. And we as Black people have contributed greatly to all human societies and faith traditions in the world. African faith traditions were the first to organize beliefs in the existence and oneness of God. Our faith traditions, particularly our faith traditions coming from Kemet, were respected so much by all Abrahamic faith traditions that they pay what? Homage to our ancient beliefs, right? And Amun-Ra, by ending their prayers with what?
Amen.
Amen. Oh, yeah.
Amen.
That's deep.
Yep,
that's right.
Deep. Yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You know, not to get too religious or spiritual, so you're not going to invoke our great ancestor, Brother Malik Shabazz, mm-hmm. Malcolm X, Omawali El-Haj Malik El-Shabazz, to make it right. All right? He was our Black nationalist freedom fighter.
That's
he
right.
taught
He's
us
our
that
shining,
we must put aside our religion.
He's like, he was mm-hmm. our shining Black prince.
That's right.
As
Isaac
Davis said. Yeah, go ahead.
Absolutely. He taught us that we must put aside our religious differences that mm-hmm. divide our African world to come mm-hmm. together as one united African people. Therefore, I say that regardless of land, language, and culture, there is but one God. And I say Ashe to all you were calling on the ancestors, right? Mm-hmm. And I say Ashe to all of that. You say Ibaye, Ashe, that those are two Yoruba words. You know, I'm an educator, so there are many people tuning in that may not understand what Ibaye or Ashe means, right? So Ibaye, blessing, are two Yoruba words, Ibaye, Ashe. Ibaye means blessings to the ancestors, and Ashe is so be it, or it is so. Mm-hmm. And my brother Oshi was paying tribute to the ancestors, and he ended by saying Ashe. All right, so I say Ashe owe to all of that, all right?
Yeah.
Now, because we as Black people, I'm from many walks of life and political ideologies on the globe. I greet you all my African people on the planet Earth, with the greetings of Black power, all power to the people. Stop the shooting, stop the killing,
Thank you.
The violence, peace
Please.
In the street. No justice, no peace. Yahoo, that's Kiswahili for freedom. Yahoo, Sasa, mm-hmm. freedom now. Free the land. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Peace to the gods and earth. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam.
Shay Alafiyani. Amanla. Uncle Jessenev. What's cracking? What's popping? What's up?
What's up, brother? Right on, man. Well, we're going
to
have.
You know, I have to greet, you know, in that spirit, man, because, you know, like I said, we come from different walks of life on the planet Earth, brother.
Yeah.
you know, but different ideologies. But it's still
one Africa. Yeah, but it's still one Africa. And I think that,
that's
I
right.
hope that and pray that that's what we can continue to evolve in. I know that in your ASCAC study groups, ASCAC, the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilization, you know, that you push that consistently. And
absolutely,
you know, because that's what needs to happen. Just like you just mentioned about Malcolm said, hey, you know, if I come to the table of brotherhood trying to deal with the issues affecting our people, and I'm talking about El Islam, then there might be some divisions there, because you might be a Jehovah Witness, or you might be Seventh-day Adventist, or you might be Black Hebrew Israelites, or you might be Christian or Muslim. So we could keep that in the back pocket or leave it at home and talk specifically about how we're going to get this cracker off our ass. And how
that's
are we
right.
going to come Absolutely. Together? How are we going to come together and pull resources to do for ourselves? You know, that's what needs to happen.
Teach.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely, brother. Absolutely. That's one of the things that we're, that those of us in the conscious community, the nationalist community, Black nationalist community, Pan-Africanist community, you know, we're working hard to struggle with our people against is these, you know, is our divisions, particularly coming from religion. You know, and you hit it right on the head, man. You know, some of us may be Seventh-day Adventists. Some of us may be Hebrew Israelites. Some of us may be Muslims. Some of us may practice African traditional religions, right? And, you know, we come to the table. We definitely got to put aside those differences.
We got to.
Because, you know, some of that is causing major divisions within the African world community. And some quarters of the African world community, people are dying. People are getting killed over religion.
Yes. Throughout the continent, just like what happened in Sudan and while and probably happening in Ethiopia. This is ridiculous. Yeah. One of the main problems that we have, and even here in this country, because in this country, so many people believe so adamantly in Christianity. And Christianity, unfortunately, is an individualistic religion. Christianity does not help to liberate African people.
Right.
You know, people talking about Christianity. Oh, I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved and highly favored. Oh, you are, but your family's going to hell. Your community is not good. Your people are divided, but you saved and you highly favored because you believe in Jesus. You know, you believe in the rapture. You believe you're going to be raptured up at the time of the tribulation, you know, because you saved.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Especially
especially if it's taught, you know, from a Eurocentric perspective, not from a, you know, from a Black liberation theology perspective. You know, at least we try to, you know, challenge our people to say, you know, if you're going to practice the Abrahamic faith traditions, you know, i.e. Judaism, Christianity, and Al-Islam, at least practice it from a Black liberation theology perspective.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, and what that means is that, you are unapologetically Black, you know, in your practice of the faith tradition. I mean, that you view God Black, you know what I'm saying? And it's funny, we mentioned viewing God as Black, because when I went to Kemet, and we're going to get into it, you know, my recent trip
to
Kemet,
will.
Egypt, right? You know, our ancestors portrayed the deity and the Neturu, which is the representation of the one God, right? Black, you know, they're all Black.
Yeah.
Black, you know? And you know, so we're in accordance with our ancestors when we do that, when we portray the Creator in our own image, right? As being Black. And that's something that Dr. Clark talked about many a times. He said one of the most powerful things that the European oppressor did was colonialize the image of God, right? Made God white, made us believe that God was white.
That's right.
Made us believe that God was anything other than African, right, or Black. You know, so that has had a devastating effect psychologically and culturally on our people. You know, going to Kemet, when I saw that, it made me think about what Dr. Clark, Dr. John Henry Clark, the great Africana studies professor, right, of history and Africana studies, great Pan-Africanist, respected Pan-Africanist, right? He talked about these things, especially in his book called Christopher Columbus and the African Holocaust, right? I really recommend all your listeners to pick up that book. It's just a very short book, but a lot of wisdom in that book. And one of the things he talked, Dr. Clark talked about is you know, he talked about the colonization of the image of God.
That's right. The image of God. He said that was the most devastating. That was the most devastating. Yeah, he colonized us physically, but when he colonized the image of God and put it into our minds has destroyed us. Because even though some of us want to believe or look at Christianity and put a black face on it, but because of the hundreds of years, of years, because, you know, the bottom line to those who believe in Christianity, whether you believe in black liberation theology, such as, you know, the Shrine of the Black Madonna, or black Hebrew Israelites, still, in the mindset, it is there because that was the germinating seed of belief in Christianity, you know?
Yes, absolutely, 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 you know? And I think, you know, and that's why there are many brothers and sisters in our community, in the African world community, that are challenging many of our people to actually live, practice African traditional religions, to come back, you know, to come back home, so to speak, you know, come back and practice your own tradition, you know, as opposed to the Abrahamic faith tradition. So big props to all the brothers and sisters that do practice African traditional religions. And there are many of them, the Dogon religion, the Yoruba religion, faith tradition.
Faith tradition.
The Dogon faith tradition, the Yoruba faith tradition, the Kemetic faith tradition. All right. There are many, many, many others out there. You know, we don't have time to name them all, but big, big props to those brothers and sisters who are exposing our people to these faith traditions, because they do exist. You know, some folk, you know, don't want to acknowledge it, you know, but they do exist. All right. And they have places, temples and institutions that you can go to and worship and practice these faith traditions. So big props to all the faith African brothers and sisters who practice African faith tradition.
Yeah. But what's most important as far as I'm concerned with us as a people at this juncture, at this stage, because of what's happening globally and what's been happening for some time, is that if we don't begin to look at ourselves historically and culturally, embrace ourselves, you know, if we want to change the dynamics, it's not going to happen here. We can learn, we can study and everything here, but we have to go to the continent. We have to help the continent be liberated. You know, my fear, it is happens, you know, my fear is those in leadership on the continent have been giving it away. You have the Chinese that have a stronghold in the continent, man.
I saw that over there. Too,
I bet you, I know you did. Because I saw it the last time I was in Ghana a couple years ago, back in 19. You know, how dynamic the China. Because in fact, I went up to the northern part into Tamale. And from Tamale caught a ride going to Moli Park, going to Burkina Faso. When I did that about 10 or so years ago, that road wasn't there, and it was, you know, not good at all. But the Chinese built a road from Tamale to Moli Park. But let me tell you what the Chinese also did. They built a resort for themselves on a higher here, and you can see that road going up to that resort for themselves, just like they had some signs, a Chinese highway in Ghana, in Accra, and had a sign, the Chinese Mall coming soon, you know.
Damn.
You know, and in South Africa, they're pushing Mandarin Chinese as a language to be learned.
Ooh.
You know,
wow.
I'm saying, you know, the takeover. Yes. And so my contention is that the Africans in the diaspora, and particularly those like us who have some wherewithal and who have the technological skills, need to work together with Africans on the continent and get rid of that misleadership, get rid of those neo-colonialists, get rid of all that, you know, despots and all that, kick their ass out, reestablish, you know, reestablish the borders, because the borders have always been conflicting. So do all of this to say we are one Africa, And then we're kicking the Chinese out, we're kicking the Arabs out, we're kicking the Indians out, we're showing the hell kicking these Europeans out, and we are going to control Africa and its resources. We sit on a land that has all the resources that everybody wants. They want everybody wants their part of Africa, but us. We're trying to get out, go to Europe, we're trying to get out, come to America, Australia, whatever. Yeah. You know, they have done a hell of a job on our minds globally, you know?
Absolutely. That's why, Dr. Clark, John Henry Clark, the great historian and Pan-Africanist, said that, you know, Pan-Africanism will perish.
Yeah.
That was his thing. That was his slogan, you know?
And that's the model.
Pan-Africanism will perish.
That's the model of this program. Pan-Africanism will perish. Unify or die. It's as simple as that.
Absolutely.
There is nothing out. There is no rationalism. That's it. Either we establish Pan-Africanism, a dynamic, as Dr. Clark said again, a dynamic Pan-Africanism, one that's built on history, you know, culture, you know, and technology.
Right.
You know, he said it. This is what we must train for, you know.
Absolutely, brother. Absolutely. Yeah, we must liberate Mother Africa.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's our responsibility.
It's unfortunate that in 2021, going into 2022 soon, that we're still talking about these things.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's really, I mean, it's horrible, you know? And I always say to my colleagues and friends and family members and comrades, activists, I said, our people in bad shape.
Yeah.
We are in bad shape. And we have to, you know, we got to begin to, like you were saying in your intro, we got to look to our ancestors, look to the wisdom of our ancestors, look to the wisdom of our elders, all right? You know, for solutions to our problem.
Because
can't nobody solve this problem but us.
But see,
I mean,
when you are steeped into the religions that have been imposed upon us, you don't think about us collective. You think about yourself. I'm saved. You think about, you know, I'm a Muslim, and everybody outside of Islam, you know, I have no dealings with. You know, the whole idea of Kemet being bad and evil, you know. That's another image that I hate. You have the ministers talking about, you know, Egypt was bad. Get out of Egypt, and you know the you know the Exodus. The Exodus has been proven to never have happened, but yet we firmly believe it. You know, every Easter time we watch the Ten Commandments. You know, and you know,
Charlton Heston,
exactly. Yeah. You know, it did not happen. There was no Exodus. You know, no, there were no Hebrews. And there definitely weren't no Jews, because the letter J hadn't even been created. There weren't no Hebrews doing serious enslavement work in Kemet. They weren't building a damn thing. Everything that was built in Kemet was built by the people themselves. There was never any slavery in Kemet.
That's right. That's right. I went when I was there, and big shout out to, let me first say big shout out to Professors Ashwa and Merira. Quasi.
I'll say.
You know, they direct the Kemet New Knowledge of Self educational tours every single year, you know, and they've been doing this thing for nearly 40 years. And, you know, Ashwa, you know, became Dr. Ben, that's Dr. Yosef Benyakina, but he's affectionately called by our people, Dr. Ben. You know, he became his number one student, you know, and carry on that tradition, you know, because Dr. Ben, you know, when he was with us, he directed the Akibi Line educational tours for many years. I mean, taking thousands of people, you know, to Kemet, you know? And so, you know, Professor Akwesi and his wife, Mary Rod, they picked up that baton.
And that's beautiful.
And kept it going, man. And that's the tour that I went on this past summer.
Big
shout out to them. Shout out to the Akwesis.
Oh, Ashe. And I know that as you were leaving, Baba Renoko was coming in to Kemet with his tour, you know. And I wanted to get your impressions, because, you know, I've known Baba Renoko for a long time. Let me tell you how this has happened. I do a little presentation working with kids back in Milwaukee. I'm a retired firefighter, and on my off days, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I respect you highly as an educator. I definitely, I admire you and expect you highly as an educator, especially when you work in public schools in New Jersey and Milwaukee, because you know in public schools, but even in parochial and private schools, they ain't going to get, I used to tell the kids all the time, I'm going to give you information that you will definitely not get here, you know. So I did, I used to have a presentation built on information that I gathered from, you know, Renoco, all the other scholars, particularly Anthony Broder, using his book, Nile Valley Contributions of Civilization, which is excellent. So I built a, first I had a first I had an overhead projector presentation that that evolved into a PowerPoint presentation. But you know, I used a video that LeGrand Clegg out of the West Coast, ASCAC, Brother LeGrand Clegg, when black men ruled. And in that video, Renoco gives commentary a couple of times, as well as Dr. Charles Finch, you know. So I said, I like that brother. I want to meet him. And so ASCAC, he was still involved in ASCAC. For the last, I'd say, 20 years, Renoco has not really been involved with ASCAC. But he was involved with ASCAC, and I think I met him in Cleveland or East Cleveland, one or the other, whatever. And we built a friendship from that point, brought him to Milwaukee, visited him, went out to L.A., out to L.A. about 3 or 4 years ago, you know, so I consider him a friend, you know. Last time I seen him was here in Atlanta when he spoke back in the spring of last year. So, you know, really, you know, just a good friend. And he was supposed to be my guest today. We were supposed to have a conversation from Kemet, you know, because, you know, his tour ended today. We were going to have a conversation about Kemet. And so I want to get your impressions about Baba Renoco Rashidi.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, master teacher, brother. You know, we lost a master teacher, a brother that documented African presence all over the world, not just in Africa, but all over the world. You know, it's funny. When we talk about religion, there's a sect in the Islamic community called the Nation of Islam, right? And it was led by, you know, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, right? And he said, he used to give these actual facts. You know, when you join the nation, you learn the actual facts. Who is the original man? Who is the colored man, right? You know, what's the square root of the square area of the earth, right?
Yeah.
Right? And you learn that 100, and one of them is 100, you learn 196,000, I'm sorry, 196,940,000 square miles of the planet belongs to the original man, black man and woman, right?
Yeah.
Dr. Renoco Rashidi went out and actually documented that. You know?
Yes.
He showed that, yes, the you know, the black, our presence, the black presence, the African presence is all over the planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Asia. It's in Europe. Mm-hmm. It's in Australia. It's in, you know, the what they call it, the Philippines, you know, like the Far East, right? I mean, you know, it's in Europe. It's, you know, it's in what you call, what they call it, the Middle East.
The Middle East,
Dr. Clark and Dr. Mann said, the Asia, right? Right. So, but the point is that the brother went out and he went out and he researched for the truth. He said, let me see if this is true. Let me see if, You know, our scientists are saying that human beings, right, started in Africa, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? The first people on the planet Earth were black people, right? And, you know, we, you know, went out, left Africa, short story, right? We left Africa, right? Because some people are like, well, how did this all happen? You know, it's complicated, but I say, you know, through the Neolithic, Paleolithic period, the Neolithic period, right? You know, these things happen, right? And Paleolithic period means, you know, old stone age, right? Neo, new stone age, right? But during the Paleolithic period, you know, agricultural revolution didn't happen yet. So, you know, our ancestors went out and searched for food.
Right,
all
exactly.
Over.
You always had to migrate. You had to get out of there because once you've depleted that area that you were in, the big, no matter how big or small or big your group is or your a clan is, whatever you want to call that, you had to go out and seek, constantly seeking more.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we, you know, we did that in Africa, right? And we didn't stop there. We went to places that we now call Europe and Asia, right, and North, what we now call North America and South America, right, until the revolution, the agricultural revolution took place, right, during the Neolithic period, the New Stone Age, and that's when civilizations begin to become stable, right? Agricultural revolution took place. We were able to domesticate plants and seeds and animals, you know, and create civilization. And the first place that this civilization occurred was, of course, Nile Valley civilization, right? Now, I say all that to say this, right? Dr. Ronoco Rashidi went out and he documented it, right? He went out and he said, okay, so scientists are saying that we left Africa and we went to all these places. Let me go see if it actually is real. You know, mm-hmm. That's what I love and admire about Dr. Ronoco Rashidi.
Yeah.
He said, let me see if it's real. Let me see if what the scientists are saying, even some of our people like Dr. Sheikh Anjajoke, you know, he talked about it extensively about, you know, Africa being, the cradle of humanity, civilization, right, religions and so on, right? So he said, let me see if this is real. And he went out and he saw it. He documented it, right? Inspired by his teacher, mm-hmm. One of his teachers, Dr. Ivan Van Sertima, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was inspired by that brother because Dr. Ivan Van Sertima was saying the same thing back in the day, saying that, man, our presence is everywhere, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, okay, I'm, you know, he eventually met Dr. Ivan Van Sertima, right? And the two begin to do some work together, but he said, "I'm gonna go out there." Ivan Sermon said, "If evidence is out there, I'm gonna go find it."
Shit.
You know, and he found it. I mean, the brother. Dr. Ronoco Rashidi published 18 books, right? Just a few of them. Of course, Introduction to the Study of African Classical Civilizations is one. Right? You can get these books, folks. By the way, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Black and Beautiful in the Ancient World, Black Star, African Presence in Early Europe, African Star Over Asia,
mm-hmm.
Asada, Garvey, and Me,
right.
A Global African Journey. These are some of the books that he published, all right? Again, that documents our presence, the Black presence, the African presence all over the world. So, he's a master teacher,
right.
Man. He will be missed, but thank God. Thank God. We thank the creator and ancestors, Ibaye Ashe, that the man did scholarly research, mm-hmm. right? And published, okay? And published that work in books. So his presence will be with us forever. Just like Dr. Clark, just like Dr. Ben, just like Dr. Chancellor Williams, right? Dr. Asa mm-hmm. Hilliard, right?
That's right.
You know, these men, brothers and sisters.
These men and women it will be with us always, yes. Because their work has been profound, it's been documented, it's been verified, you know. And
right.
and what problems we have is that these men and women labored. You know, I like to quote Drusilla Dungy Houston from her book, The Wonderful Ethiopians of the Ancient from the Ancient Kushite Empire.
Classic.
You know, she said, and she said this in 1926, the same time Carter G. Woodson established Negro History Week, which later evolved into what I say is African and American African History Month. But she said this in 1926. She says, I have dug up an irrefutable arsenal of facts that Harvard or Yale or even cowardly scholarship in our race can dare not refute. And this is the deep part of this quote. She says, how can a leadership point a way forward that is utterly ignorant of the past? And I maintain that Jesse don't know this. All these cats didn't, all these so-called leaders don't know our history. These folks are constantly begging white folks to please let us in and share the thievery that you have committed here in this country and around the world.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and that's why we have to know the difference between an African-centered scholar or an African-centered educator, right, and a Black, right, or
teach.
Negro.
Yes, yes,
or Negro a scholar and educator, you know. I mean, Dr. Clark and Dr. Ben and Dr. Ronoco Rashidi, Dr. Ivan Van Sertima, and Dr. Shashi McIntyre and mm-hmm. Dr. Francis Creswell. So many.
These
so
are
many,
warriors.
And so many others.
These
right?
are warriors. Right? These are warrior scholars.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. They did not wait for white folks, okay, to validate I don't know what's
them.
The word.
To validate them or prove them. Yeah.
Right. To validate them.
Mm-hmm.
No. They did it themselves.
Yes.
All right. You know, and they used European scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. Mm-hmm. They used white scholarship. You mm-hmm. know, as they searched for the truth, they went in and looked at some of the stuff, and some of it was racist as hell, no
yeah.
doubt. But they found the facts, yeah. right? Not just the truth, because truth is subjective. They found the facts, mm-hmm. all right? And they brought forth those facts. And that's why we love them to this day. I mean,
right.
big shout out. I mean, I'm saying big shout out to Dr. Ben. We talk about Kenneth. And I was giving a big shout out to the Kwesis, but you know, Dr. Ben, pioneer, revolutionary Black Egyptologist. I mean, mm-hmm. going all the way back to the 40s.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, someone who went there. I mean, he used to catch yeah. hell. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, Dr. Ben caught hell.
That's why
you
we,
know,
that's
but
why
he labored to yeah. bring these facts to the light. Go ahead.
That's why we owe them a great debt of gratitude, those men and women
right.
who put their careers on the line. And some of them, just like
right.
I said about Drusilla Dunja Houston, who went out to reclaim,
yeah.
recapture, and restore the history of our people. They didn't have no foundation money. They didn't have no grant money.
Mm-hmm.
They did this out of the
nope.
love for our people to bring them the knowledge of self. And so the
some
same
of them
thing.
Lost their jobs.
Yes.
Right. They lost their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, even some of them, you know, some of them mysteriously mysteriously died, like our brother George GM James.
Jim James James,
you know,
yes, yes.
You know,
mm-hmm.
we still trying to figure out what happened to this
stolen,
brother.
Stolen
you
legacy.
Know?
Stolen
yes,
legacy.
Absolutely. Please, I implore all your listeners,
mm-hmm.
please buy Stolen Legacy.
Yes.
Please purchase that book.
Because
right?
it's a fallacy of the Greeks doing all that they say mm-hmm. that they have done and the things that they've done
right.
in Greece. But yet, that is the foundation for Caucasians.
Right.
That Greece
mm-hmm. absolutely
is,
right.
the is the pinnacle of European culture and
right.
Knowledge and scientific so forth and so on. There's some bunch of damn cultural bandits, some appropriators,
oh,
some damn thieves. You know?
Absolutely, absolutely,
mm-hmm.
absolutely. And you know, so you know, when you asked me earlier about Kim and I, you know, we were actually talking about the you know, there is no archaeological or scientific evidence of, you know, Hebrews or Jews building pyramids in Kemet, right? When I went there, all that I know, you know, and I've been conscious for over 30 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you know, with the help of brothers and sisters like Dr. Clark and Dr.
Yes.
Ben, you know, ASCAP,
same here.
You know, the
history, mm-hmm.
you know, the associations, you know, the African Heritage Studies Association, big shout out to them.
Yes.
They do great work
yes.
in Africa. They've been doing great work for over 50 years. You know, ASCAP been around since 1984, you know, founded, of course, by Dr. Clark, Dr. Ben,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Jacob Crothers, Dr. Malana Karenga, Dr.
Yeah.
Rikiti, Amin, right? With all that I know, there still was a strand of skepticism. Skepticism, brother Oshie.
Okay, I hear you. I hear you. I hear you. I hear you, brother Patah.
I was like, let me see if this is, you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm at the Great Pyramids of Giza, right? And there's an African word for it as mer, you know, mer kuti.
Mm-hmm.
That's the African word for pyramids, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for the sake of conversation, I'll just say pyramid. So. Right in back of the Great Pyramids are the tombs of the builders of the pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because I didn't know, because I said, Professor Quayle, what are these things over here? You know,
I'm
seeing all these tombs. He
yeah.
said, well, those are the tombs of the builders of the
yeah.
pyramid.
The Mastabas, yes.
And I took pictures of it.
Mm-hmm.
I took pictures of it, brother. All right?
Well, I can't wait to see a star, David. Yeah, I can't wait till you put that out there, my brother. Believe me.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
I didn't see a star David.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see a sand. There was nothing. There was no evidence of
Hebrews
mm-hmm. there, Hebrews or anything,
right?
All right, the people that built the pyramids, they're buried right next
yes.
to the
and
pyramid,
so do you
right
think do you think if they were slaves that they would be built be buried right next to them and buried at all, especially individual? No,
that's right,
you
that's
know?
Right, teach brother. No, listen, right, the workers did this this out of free labor. There was no forced labor of requiring them to build the pyramids. You know, none of that history is there. Because, you know, Kemetic people, they documented everything. Their wins, their losses. It's written all over.
You know,
in the Metu Netcher, which is, you know, the oldest written language, you know, in the world. You know, it's the written language of the Kemetic people. And they, you know, although the Europeans, the bandits, you know, they took the scrolls, it's as if our ancestors knew that would happen.
Yeah, so we don't put it in stone.
So they wrote everything in stone. You know, all of it is documented everywhere. I'm serious, brother.
So,
I implore your listeners to go to Kemet. You'll see it for yourself.
Yes. Well, so, you know, my brother, he's a minister. And I think, you know, I consider him like a theologian because he knows the Bible front and back. He's just a Baptist preacher. Right. He used to be sanctified, but he was messing with women in the church. Mm. You know, they don't allow that.
Uh-oh.
So became Baptist where they do allow it. No, I'm just kidding.
I understand.
But my discussion with him, see, he don't, you know, I don't mess with him. He don't mess with me because I'm coming from a narrative of history, of fact. I'm coming from a narrative of fact. He has a narrative of faith. And so, you know, what he was saying to me was that, in the Exodus, that was so bad for the Pharaoh, he didn't want to write it down because it was so embarrassing. You know, because I said, listen, man, if the Pharaoh or the king stubbed his toe, somebody gonna write about it. Everything was documented.
Absolutely.
It was all documented.
Absolutely.
These things did not happen. There's no record, nowhere, nothing outside of the Bible.
Nothing.
Nothing.
It was not a sandal, a thumbprint, a toe print.
Right.
Nothing. There. I looked. I said, well, let me, because, I'm an Americanized African. I'm a Europeanized African. Right? I battle it every single day.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I went, I said, this is the place where, you know, when I was growing up, you know, I grew up a Christian. You know, they indoctrinated that in, you know, Exodus in my mind, you know. We watched it, like you said, the Ten Commandments, every Easter.
Yeah.
Every single Easter we watched it, every single Easter. Right?
Yeah.
Charlton Heston and Yul Brynner, right?
Yep.
Even some of us cried, right? We were 10 years over there, right?
Yeah.
Right? You know? So I'm there. I'm like, okay, this is what I remember reading about this as a kid, you know, in the church, you know, about the Jews and, you know, and the Hebrews and, you know, being held in bondage, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking all around. I'm looking, brother, you know? And it was no evidence of it. Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing.
Nothing.
They had a conference on it.
The workers.
They had a conference on it, just like when another great debt of gratitude to Dr. Sheikh Anja Jop, when he proved, proved that the ancient Kemetic people were African. They were black. He and Dr. Theophilia Obinga were the only two Africans that were at that symposium in Cairo in 1974. And he kicked their ass. Because I think the smoking gun.
They worked it still.
Yep. Because the smoking gun was the melanin dosage test that he had created. And they were denying him access to the mummies that he could prove because of the amount of melanin in their skin. You know.
That's right.
But, you know.
That's right. Absolutely.
They have an agenda.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was saying, and they did that because they understood that Kemet or Egypt, was absolutely necessary to the liberation of Africa. You know, they understood that. That's why. That's why they labored so hard, so long. You know, to do these things. You know, because when you go to Kemet, you see the beginnings of civilization. Right, our people, we authored civilization and religion. All right, you see it with your naked eye. You see it. It's all there. You know, and that's why. In fact. In fact, Dr. Jope, right? He talks about the cultural unity, right? Right. A lot of people don't understand what he means by that. What do you mean cultural unity? Well, what he's saying is that Kemet culture, right, was spread throughout Africa. You know, as more invaders came in, you know, the Syrians, the Persians, the Greeks, Romans,
Hexos,
and now
all of
the
that.
Arabs, right? Right. So the original Kemetic people began to, you know, they began to leave Kemet and go west. To West Africa and Central Africa and South Africa, right?
Yep.
And that culture came with them. That's why it's very important that we study Dr. Jope's work and Dr. Theophile Binga's book, because mm-hmm. you see it. You see in cultures in Africa, you can actually see, right, Kemetic culture. You can mm-hmm. see it. It's there, you know? So that's what he meant by cultural unity, you know? And he said, and you know, and also, again, tapping into the wisdom of our ancient Kemetic ancestors, we can find the pathway to Black liberation. We could find it. It's there. Because Europeans tapped into it. That's what they did. I'm going to give you an example, right? You know, when, because, you know, I'm a history teacher, right? And, you know, I have to do lesson plans about, you know, about Western Europe, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the lessons that I have to cover is something called the Middle Ages, right? The Middle Ages, and then how they got out of, which is the dark period right. of Europe, right?
Right?
And how they
the
got
medieval.
Out of Europe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, medieval period, right? So, and how they got out of it was something called, you know, the scientific revolution, right?
Mm-hmm. The
right?
Renaissance,
and so they talk
right.
about, right, they mm-hmm. talk about Galileo and Copernicus, right? And how these two white men, right, you know, argue, well, Galileo argued that the earth, you know, rotates around the sun, right? And he was persecuted for that. I mean, yeah. he was tortured. He was almost killed for mm-hmm. presenting the idea, because at the time Europeans believed that that everything revolved around the earth.
Exactly.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. And then Copernicus proved, right, Galileo's argument, saying that no, based on scientific evidence, the earth revolves around the sun. Now, here's the thing, and I always ask my students this question: did Europeans study? Is this original idea, or did Europeans get this idea from someplace? You know, all my students say, no, this is original European idea. And you know what I say? No, it's not. They say, what do you mean, Mr. A? What do you mean, Mr. Akinyele? I said, no, our ancestors already charted that. We already saw the mm-hmm. earth rotating around the sun. Well, mm-hmm. how do you know that? I said, well, it created a 365 day calendar. Based on observations of the earth moving around in the universe. You know, I said, this is not original. This is not original idea. It comes from us. And I saw that when I went to Kemet. All right. I saw how they, you know, you go to the temples, you see they're charting the days.
Mm-hmm.
You saw that.
Yeah.
You see the days of the week, you know, the months of the year.
Yeah.
Because based on their observations of the universe, you see, science, you see, so if our science teachers, right, could connect all of that wisdom that's in Kemet with our students, particularly Black students, man, our students will be mastering.
Mm-hmm.
You hear what I'm saying to you,
yes.
Brother Oshi?
Yes.
We would be mastering yeah. science as well as yeah. mathematics. Brother, listen. I went to the temple, when I went to one of the temples, and I wrote it down in my notes, I took a picture of it too, my brother, right? When I went to the temple, they call it Aset, mm-hmm. but it's, you know, Europeans and Arabs, they call it Karnak.
Karnak, right.
When I went
Petty Soot, yeah.
I saw the mathematical equations, brother, written on the walls, brother. Mm-hmm. I saw it. I took pictures yeah. of it. All right.
Yeah.
I said, I got to show my students this, man. Yeah. You know? So, and I say, all I just say that if I, you know, teachers, and you already know the conspiracy with it all, but if our teachers, especially our Black teachers, I'm saying, especially our Black
yeah,
teachers,
exactly.
African
teachers, I agree. If you're a history teacher and you are an American African, you should be looking right. for the African answers or the African position of history. You know.
There you go. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that if we, that's why I said it's very important. I think you said it, that we develop an African centered, you know, world mm-hmm. because once we understand that, see, you know, we really begin to understand that African history is not an object; it's subject. You know, mm-hmm. I like when Dr. Malifa Asante says that. Mm-hmm. You know, we get out of this whole thing about Africa being an object. You know, mm-hmm. that we start to really study African history and culture as subject.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I say a lot to say this, that if teachers of African descent, right, if they knew this history, they knew this, right, this knowledge,
mm-hmm.
right, they could connect our students you know, to mathematics to show that, you know, it'd be a deeper connection with our students to mathematics, because they would understand that we authored mathematics. You see, because I went there, brother. I didn't want to just make a generalization about we authored mathematics. I wanted to see it. You know what I'm saying? I went there to document it. You know,
just like Renoco. Exactly. I want to see it and document it for myself. But listen, we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, there's a number of callers. Right. A number of callers are in the queue and to ask a question or comment or concern to my dear brother Bashir Muhammad Patah Akinyele.
Yes.
He's got to hit
star twice. That's a new comedic name.
That's a new comedic, Patah. You got to hit star twice and we'll get you all in. We're going to do that. And then once I come back from the break, we'll make it all happen. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Down in a braids, brothers with their afros taking center stage, watching as this culture slowly comes of age with a mind of its own. Yeah, mothers out in the yard hanging up her clothes, fathers playing with the kids, keeping them on the go. Neighborhoods feeding on the heart of its soul. And that's where my feelings live. Cause I love my people. The way they let it go on the dance floor. Ain't nobody gonna do it like us, no. I'm loving my people. Kitchen table, my heart's full of love, spirits in the flow, and I'm loving my people. Teachers off in the classroom giving up the love, supported by that mom and dad who want that special touch. Little acts of kindness prove to mean so much when we give what we know. Kitchen pots are banging, smell of soul food fills the air. You walk past the neighbor's house wishing you had dinner there. Better times for living when people seem to care about that place where they grow. That's why I love my people. The way they let it go on the dance floor. Nobody gonna do it like us, no. I'm loving my people. Said I love my people. I love. So from the stove straight to the kitchen table. My heart's full of love, spirits in the flow. And I'm loving my people. Gather at the church early Sunday morn. Openly they sing and praise and gospel music's born. God gave us love enough with spirits free to run. Why can't we learn to love ourselves like we're the chosen one? Come and let me know how your life is doing good. Tell me how the blessings flow through the neighborhood. Share with me that time of feelings understood in that place we called home.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Before I get back with my guest, Brother Akinyele, I'm a few announcements and a little bit of a presentation, so to speak. Let me get this out here. Of course, tomorrow is Marcus Garvey's birthday is the 17th, but there's a lot of celebrations going on, maybe hopefully in your location too. Tomorrow here in Atlanta, the Marcus Garvey commemorative celebration will be at the Shrine of the Black Madonna in the West End. The Shrine, as well as the UNIAACL, the Universal Negro Improvement Association and African Communities League, Division 421, Marcus Garvey Festival from 12 to 6. If you want to vend, there may be some vending space. Give them a call at 404-254-5122. 404-254-5122. That's in the West End on Ralph David Abernathy for tomorrow, the Marcus Garvey celebration. There's other things happening. My guest Monday is Baba Rinoko's birthday, but my guest will be Sister Mama Tamu Kenyama in her book, 1148 Lewis Street, A Long Journey. This is when the Republic of New Africa was establishing itself, and they were in Mississippi, and they had a shootout with the authorities in Jackson, Mississippi. And the date was, this Wednesday is the date, August 18th. August 18th, 1971, 50 years ago, and she wrote a book about that experience with her family and friends and people. You know, she's from Milwaukee. In fact, when he was out, Brother Kima was out, got out of prison, they had a celebration for him in Milwaukee in 1981, and I happened to be there. Happy to be at that celebration. So I'll be talking to her about the book and so forth. And then on Wednesday, a tribute to Rinoko Rashidi, and my guest will be Brother Sangor Bay. Brother Sangor is the field general of the Pan-African Federalist Movement, which is desperately needed because we need to affect what's happening on the continent. We want to bring Africa as one federated state, one unified Africa before this decade is out. And I would love to see that happen before this decade is out. Today is Friday the 13th. There's only one Friday the 13th this year. And every Friday the 13th and the number 13, of course, many people have tridecadicophobia, which is the fear of the number 13, tridecadicophobia. And this society has played on that, you know, because what the society wants you to believe that the number 13 is an evil number, a bad number. But the number 13 is the number of transformation. 12 completes the cycle. 13 begins anew. The number 13. Check out the number 13. How many disciples did Jesus have? 12 plus Jesus, 13. How many knights at the mythical round table of King Arthur? 12 plus King Arthur, 13. How many signs in the zodiac? 12 plus the sun, 13. How many jurors on a trial? 12 plus the judge, 13. So you see where I'm going with this. 12 completes the cycle, 13 begins anew. But they wanted you to believe. That's why they have no 13th floor on some office buildings or hotels, no 13th row on some airlines, because they wanted you to believe that the number 13 was a bad and evil number. But the number 13 is the number of transformation. So I'm going to do this quickly because I want to get back to our guests, and I want you to join the conversation, okay? But the question becomes, how can we put this number 13 into our daily lives? And so we can transform ourselves in our community. First, you can use either the seven principles of Ma'at, of truth, justice, righteousness, harmony, reciprocity, order, and balance, or you can use the Nguza Saba, unity, self-determination, collective work and responsibility, cooperative economics, purpose, faith, and creativity. Let's use the Nguza Saba. You have the seven principles. Umoja, unity. Kujichagulia, self-determination. Ujima, collective work responsibility. Ujamaa, cooperative economics. Nia, purpose. Kumba, creativity, and Imani, faith. Hold the seven. Add to them the five C's. The five C's. The first C, consciousness. I have dedicated my life, my adult life, for the last at least almost 30 to 40 years of trying to help raise consciousness of our people. And consciousness is more than just awareness. It's deeper understanding of who you are culturally, of who you are historically. Consciousness. Once you have consciousness, you develop courage. You have courage. The next C, you have courage. You can do great things because you have that confidence in yourself. You have courage. The next C is confidence. Confidence. The other C is conscience. Knowing what is morally right and wrong and doing what's right. Standing on principle. Doing what's right when nobody's looking. One of the things that I've tried to be as a man is be sincere and committed, particularly to African people and to our liberation, to our self-determination, to our sovereignty. You know? And then the last C, conscience. I mean, the last C, conviction. Conviction. You know, you have a conviction. You're going to be a doctor. It may have taken you many years, but you persevere because you have conviction. You have conviction. So now you have the seven principles plus those five C's. Seven plus five is 12 plus you, number 13. Brothers and sisters, put the number 13 into your life and transform yourself and encourage others to do so. Brothers and sisters, we need each other. We need each other to be knowledgeable who we are and a belief in who we are. You can still be a Christian if you want to, or Muslim, or Seventh-day Adventist, or whatever. But what's most important is that you believe and understand that you are African. And you have a love for Africa. You understand that you have been deeply lied upon, that the whole damn world despised people with melanin. That's why people bleach their damn skin. Did you see Serena lately? You checked her out? You see how she looked? Exactly. So let's get back to the conversation with Brother Bashir. Brother Bashir, I always got to get the whole name because I love that Patah. Brother Bashir Muhammad Patah Akinyele. Brothers and sisters, you have read him if you looked at Atlanta Black Star. You have read him if you looked at Your Black World and other publications. When I first read him, and I said, I gotta meet this brother. I gotta get this brother to come on the program, man. You know, so I finally reached out to him, and he responded back, and I know that we will be connected for the rest of our lives, and that's just how it
is. Ashe, for real.
Yeah.
For real. Hotep, 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 brothers and sisters.
Let me say this to your listening audience. You have a wonderful, wonderful talk show host. Our brother O'Shea is really putting it down, man. I mean, spreading the needed knowledge for our black liberation and black empowerment. You know, so big props to you, brother O'Shea.
Thank you.
For real, O'Shea. Man. Keep on doing Sante that great Sana. Work. And, of course, we're going to be Madassi. United until the Creator and the ancestors call us
that's,
on home.
That's right. That's right. Because we're in this fight together,
no
man.
Doubt.
We're in this fight together.
Absolutely.
We are in this
absolutely.
Fight together.
Absolutely. So, mm-hmm. Hotep. And, of course, you know, I don't know. I think you said it earlier. If you didn't say it, maybe I said it and I just forgot. But Hotep is a African Kemetic Medu word for peace. Let's just get that straight, because mm-hmm. some people, you know, are enemies, all right, you know, who are working to discredit African culture. You know, they try to you know, they have tried, but we, you know, we fighting back, but they have tried to make Hotep to be something that's anti-white,
yeah.
you know, homophobic, anti-woman, right? They tried to redefine it.
Yeah.
That way. They tried to say, these are Hotepers. Anybody that was conscious.
Hotepers.
Anybody
I
that's militant,
that.
Radical.
Yeah.
Right. You, that's a Hotep. And what's a Hotep? Well, that's somebody that's anti-white. That's somebody that's homophobic. That's somebody that's anti-woman. No, that's not what Hotep means. All right. And that's not what the conscious community is all about.
Right.
All right. That's not what we're all about. We're not anti anybody. We just pro black. You know, we're not anti no one.
And, you know, I hate when they use that word in a disparaging, way, in a disrespectful
yeah.
way. That's a beautiful right. word. It means peace. You know,
that's
it
right.
means peace.
It means peace. Right.
And that's what we need. And when people call them Hoteppers and be
yeah,
derogatory,
oh,
but especially us. I don't give a damn yes. what the Europeans do, what the Caucasians do. They going to do what they going to do, because that's who and what they are,
right.
the Yorugu. But for us.
That's right.
For us as right. people, it bothers me tremendously, you know.
Absolutely, brother. Same here, brother.
Yeah.
Same here. That's why, I, you know, all my writings and all my lectures, you know, anywhere and everywhere I go, I try to really, you know, give some clarity on the word Hotep. And actually, Hotep, is some scholars argue that it is the oldest written word for peace in
mm-hmm.
human history, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it has a deep, deep, deep meaning. Hotep has a deep meaning. And that's why the conscious community took it on and began to, you know, teach our people to say Hotep to
right.
one another. Just, you know what I'm saying? You know, so, but like I said, these colonized Negroes.
mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, let me not get
yep.
too personal, because my wife always warns me about that. Some of these colonized blacks.
Yeah.
All right. You know.
But hey, sometimes, brother, you just got to call them for what they are. And if you use a disparaging or a derogatory remark, because that's who they are. That's who they are.
You know, they aid and abetting our presence,
yes.
to discredit.
Yes.
You know, our culture, because, you know, Amilcar Cabral, you know, he once said that culture is a weapon in the face of our enemy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you never heard, listeners, you never heard of Amilcar Cabral, please look him up, all right?
Yeah.
Please check out this, brother. He was a great African revolutionary, and unfortunately, he was murdered by the Portuguese. He was
right.
fighting for
right.
the liberation of you know, Guinea-Bissau.
And the same, right, and the same thing that happened to Thomas Sankara. I mean, all of our leaders. And you know what, though, Brother Bashir? It is happening today.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a number of African heads of state who have been killed in the last year or so, within
yeah.
the last year.
Absolutely.
You know? So.
Absolutely. Absolutely,
yeah.
brother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, knocked off because murdered, you
yeah.
know, because they were fighting for the liberation of Africa.
Yeah.
You know, let's be clear on that. You
mm-hmm.
know, they were fighting for the liberation of Africa, you know, and so they wanted to knock them off and replace them with, you know,
mm-hmm.
with these neo,
mm-hmm.
You know, colonialized,
yeah.
colonized, whatever you want to say it,
yeah.
African leaders, man, who are selling out Africa wholesale.
Weak.
You know?
They weak.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And they got to go. That's why.
That's right.
You know, I heard you say that a brother from the Pan-African Federalist
Movement,
movement is going to be on the show. Oh,
yeah.
That's all right, man.
Yeah.
I really respect that organization, man. They're doing some incredible work.
Yeah, we trying,
In fact, Brother Jume and
mm-hmm.
Faye, you
mm-hmm.
know, he's doing incredible work. But my brother Charles, he's a part of the New York,
Chapter.
I think he represents the New York wing of the Pan-African Federation movement, doing great work, man.
Yeah.
Great work, man.
Because we're trying our best to make sure that we can unite Africa before this decade is out. It's imperative. It's critical.
Yep.
I just mentioned how deep the Chinese, the Indians, the Indians, the Arabs, of course, have been there for, for centuries. The Europeans have been there. Mm-hmm. But we have got to kick them out. We have got to rearrange those borders that came about at the from the Berlin Conference, that they intentionally divided us and manipulated us to hate each other, to fight against each other, while they continue to rip all the resources off. And see, and the deep thing is this, brother, brother Pata, is that the wealth is still there. The wealth of Africa is still there after centuries of plunder, of centuries of taking. It is still there, and it is ours. And we need to reclaim, recapture, restore that legacy and that wealth, and for the benefit of us as a people, not individuals, not a particular country. No, for African people, period. Yeah. We're going to open up the phone lines. Brothers and sisters, there are many people here in the queue. Just hit star twice. Hit star twice, and then you can have conversation with Brother Pata.
So anybody, that's all right, brother.
Yeah, anybody you know, that's wants all right. to get in, you get can get in.
I just adopted that name, brother, right on. You know, coming from Kenneth. You know,
I don't blame you, man. I love it. I love it. Brothers and sisters, the number is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. You know. So, you know, the work that has to be done, and and I applaud you. Like I said, I admire you. I respect you as an educator who's fearless. You understand that you work in a school and they have a syllabus and they have things that you got to teach, but you find ways to infuse it.
Navigate through it.
Exactly.
Absolutely. You know,
because what you want to do is give those students the ammunition that they need to put them on the right journey to reclaim their Africanness, to make them feel good about themselves and each other, to make them respect each other, you know.
That's right. I mean, and also find solutions to our problems.
Yes, because the only solutions are going to come from us. Going to come from us. Yeah, you know.
Absolutely, brother. Absolutely. The answers are there. We just got to tap into it. But yes, I navigate, you know, through those waters every day, all day, every single school year, you know, and it's tough because when you're an African-centered educator, you know, and predominantly black school districts, you know, they're not going to send the white man after you. It's going to be somebody look just like and me, right?
Oh, yeah.
They're going to come in and begin to say, I don't understand how is that relevant to, you know, the lesson, the syllabus, you know, and try to give you bad evaluations and all these things, you know, try to take away your tenure and your license and all that stuff. It is a struggle, brother.
And now,
you know, and it's something that I have endured. I'm going to my 28th year, September, my 20th year of teaching.
20th year, your 20th year, right, you know, on.
In my teaching career.
Well, you know, the attitude, in particular, you see it today with, quote, critical race theory. You know, the challenge of critical race theory. You have Caucasians, particularly in Texas. Texas has always been the leader in publishing textbooks. They have watered down the history so deeply, they make you, if your ass read it, you would think that we came here as indentured servants, not as captives. You know, you think that we came here looking to come to America for a better life, like immigrants, like the Europeans did. You know?
Yeah. Yeah,
because they
yeah, you know, now I was going to say that the you know, remember, let's go back to the when Obama was when his first term in office. Remember, there was a knee jerk reaction to that by extreme right wing conservatives. Right. And they started a group called the Tea Party.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Tea Party Republicans. Right. Mm-hmm. And they said that we're going to take off. We're going to seize political power by running candidates. That's what they did.
Right.
And they started locally. All politics are local, right? So they started locally. And one of the places they started to take over was Texas, right? The Board of Education. They ran candidates and took over over the Board of Education and begin to rewrite the history books. Mm-hmm. You see?
Yeah.
That's what they did. See, that's why I'm saying that we have to reflect back on our ancestors, right? I mean, there was in 1972, there was a convention called the National Black Political Convention, right?
Right.
Yeah. Black people were
Gary, Indiana.
Organizing. Gary. That's right, Gary, Indiana. Mm-hmm. They were organizing, right, to seize black political power in mm-hmm. this country, right? Mm-hmm. Right. They were putting forth a black agenda. They were putting forth, you know, the things necessary, right, to empower black people, to liberate black people. All right. Some people argue, well, you know, it didn't. You know, there's a lot of unfinished business that took place. So that's why we still kind of in this condition. You know, even I mean, there are brothers and sisters that are calling, actually going to be organizing a 50th commemoration, actually in Newark, New Jersey, my brother. You know, we got to tap into that wisdom, man, because that's what these people did. You know, they said, you know what? Okay, no problem. Obama want to be in office, fine. We running candidate. All right. Mm-hmm. We're gonna put forth policies, right? We're gonna put forth laws that benefit us, all right? And I ain't mad at that. You know, it's messed up, but I ain't mad at that. But mm-hmm. we gotta do the same thing, brothers and sisters. We gotta do the same thing. We gotta do the same thing, man. We gotta seize political power. But that's a whole nother discussion. But anyway, go ahead, my brother.
Yeah, because no. This is we want to get into this conversation about, because the thing that you've always mentioned, at least from what I've read, you know, is that we must learn this history so we can liberate ourselves. You know, knowledge of self
Absolutely.
Is a liberating tool, you know,
Absolutely.
And we can put things, you know, in their categorical order and in their place, mm-hmm. you know, because one of the things I wish could be put in its proper place is the theologies that we believe in, because I believe that they prevent us from unifying. They prevent us from coming together and having a knowledge and respect for our African history and heritage and culture.
That's right.
You know,
because
we have been so whitewashed, you know, inculcated, you know, with what they have imposed upon us, that we can't. I always mm-hmm. use this analogy that, you know, the mm-hmm. Europeans have imposed boundaries on us and they mm-hmm. have put a vice grip on our minds.
Yes.
You know,
absolutely.
And that
absolutely.
Vice grip, and you know, once you set the vice grip, you can't pull it apart. You can't do it.
That's right.
You know, but there's
That's
that
right.
knob. There's a knob at the end of the handle. Turning that knob mm-hmm. is symbolic of acquiring mm-hmm. knowledge of self. And the more information, knowledge you get, the more you can turn that until finally, bam, it's open. Now you see clearly. And it's not that you challenge Caucasians. To hell with that. Don't even debate their ass. What you do is you bring our people together to help others break that monopoly that the European has on our minds. And to
That's
begin
right.
to think collectively. And then to be respect one another, trust one another, believe in one another. More importantly, work with one another to make these things happen. Mm-hmm. Our future is not automatic. In fact, the way
That's
shit
right.
looks right now, excuse me, the way things look like right now is tenuous at best, because the European, we want to believe mm-hmm. in the goodness of people because that's who we are as African people.
Right.
You know,
right.
that's how, that's. Oh, we got a caller. We got a caller here. We got a 334. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brother Oshiem. Good afternoon, Brother Akinyele. It's a pleasure meeting you.
Oh, my brother.
As an educator, and you know, we're starting school again this year. As a matter of fact, here in Montgomery, starts up next week. I'd like to ask you, are there some things that can be done to try to re-correct the kinds and types of activities or indoctrinations of sorts that's happening in the classroom? Are there things that you've done within your setting of sorts, like, for example, having a two-day-a-week after-school program or
–
I think of the Freedom Schools in Mississippi, where they had right. those Saturday academies that allowed mm-hmm. for people to come together in a church or a community setting. Are there things that you can recommend that can right. help with the process of learning and correct learning so students can become more aware and more engaged.
Absolutely, absolutely, my brother. Good question. Hotep, my brother. You know, I represent ASCAT as well. You know, I'm a school teacher.
Okay.
I'm a public high school history Africana studies teacher, but in the community, I represent ASCAT, which is the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations. And so, you know, I coordinate a study group that we do in the city of Newark, right? We have our community study group. We do it right in the block, right in the neighborhood, right?
Okay.
And we do one online, right? We do a Zoom meeting, an ASCAT Zoom meeting for many brothers and sisters who may not live in Newark, but they want to, you know, they want to tune in to a serious study of African history and culture, right?
Okay.
So we do one on Zoom. We do one on Zoom, but we definitely do something in the community, physically in the community, all right? That's something that maybe you could consider. You know, it may not be ASCAT, but it may be a study group that the community could bring into the school, because, you know, schools are public institutions, right? So
right.
If you have a teacher,
right.
You have an administrator, like in Newark, right, that can actually rent out for free. I mean, as a public school educator, I can use the facilities for free, you know?
Okay.
So, you know, I don't know if that's the case in Montgomery, Alabama, but if it is, and you have an African-centered, or as young people say, a woke teacher somewhere, or administrator, right, that can work with the parents, work with students in the community, you can establish a study group right there in the school that will give needed supplementary education to correct, all right, the Eurocentric or European, indoctrination of our people. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
You could do
uh-huh.
that. All right.
Okay.
Professor Tony Browder, he has a program. Actually, I'm trying to bring that program to Newark. He has a program called CIP, Culturally Imperative Program, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's a weekend program, right? They have a whole curriculum, books, mm. everything, right? I mean, you don't have to. I mean, they lay it all out. Professor Browder and his daughter, Atlantis, all right,
uh-huh.
Browder. They lay it all out, you know, and maybe you can contact that brother and have him and bring that program to Montgomery. But if it's too, because it, you know, it is a cost to it. But
right.
If it's too expensive, we can establish a study group right there in Montgomery, right there in the school, or right there in the neighborhood at a local bookstore or a community center, you know, and you can host study groups on African history and culture. That's something that we got to do, you know, because
okay.
the public
okay.
schools is not, you know, it's not going to liberate us, brother. I mean, many of our
right.
people are there, mm-hmm. right? I'm there, right? But at the end of the day, we don't control it. We got to be clear on that. We don't control it, right? It's controlled by somebody
right.
else.
Right.
All right. So we got to make sure that if it's controlled by somebody else, we got to make sure that our people are properly educated in those environments.
Brother Lusk.
Yeah, I was while you were speaking, because I was thinking along the lines things tangible, like maybe the Hidden Color series to be shown.
Oh, yeah. That could be shown.
Or
right.
African
shown,
drumming
Dr. Clark.
Or something, geography
yeah.
for that matter, right? Little things, little vignettes that would build up to bigger picture.
Thank God for the internet, right?
That's right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are YouTube videos of Dr. Clark, Dr. Mm-hmm. Finn, Dr. Shake and Joe. I mean,
uh-huh. You can let the ancestors speak.
Right.
You can let the ancestors
right.
speak.
I mean, right. You know,
believe
there's a ton
me.
Of videos now uploaded online that we can show our students. Excuse me. We can show our students. Right, there's Hidden
uh-huh.
Colors documentary.
Mm-hmm.
There uh-huh. are books. There's a litany of books that we can use. Not heavy books, but just, I mean, for example, you could use Dr. Clark's book, African People in World History. It's only about 85
uh-huh.
pages.
It's only Brother
little,
Lusk,
small little book, but a lot of wisdom in it.
Brother Lusk,
I got you. Uh-huh.
If you put together a group. I'm in Atlanta. I will come to Birmingham, and I will work with you to set up a study group. I'm an ASCAC. I will do a presentation for you, and it won't cost you a dime. I won't even charge you, even if I have to spend the night. I won't even charge you for my gas.
Wow, shit.
I will come there and do it for you because I recognize you as a sincere brother based on your being on this program for the last, 3 years? You know, Dr. Rogers' program and so forth. And so I will definitely do that for you. I was in Montgomery a couple years ago at the initiative, at the memorial and at the museum, you know. But I would come there to do an African-centered program for you. So if you get the place, you got the venue, you got the date and so forth, we'll make it happen.
Thank you, Brother Oshie. And thank you so very much for those suggestions.
Thank you.
Again, school starts next week for us here.
Yes.
And so it's, you know, while you catch it right when it's happening, right?
Yeah.
What can be some things that can be done in order to get, you know, and when you mention mathematics, it's one thing just to know about linear equations, right? It's just one thing, y equal ax plus b. But with regards to historical background, who and what, when, where, and how was the Arab development or African-centered development part of that developing of learning equations, right? So, it's good if something can be studied as and run congruent with what's going on with schools now. Yeah.
All right.
You know, Brother Oshie, can I say this to the brother,
please,
too? In New Jersey, we have an educational law called Amistad, which requires the teaching of African and African-American history in the social studies and subject area curriculum. All right. That came about, that was a long struggle, right? The law was established in 2002. The Newark Public Schools we are just adhering to it now. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's been a long struggle, man, to make sure that our students, at least in the public schools, learn about their history. And I say this, brother, just if you look up Amistad, you just Google it, look it up. Maybe some teachers and activists and administrators could begin to advocate for something like that in your state.
All right, brother.
Thank you.
Like no, thank you, brother. Yeah. Hang on. Okay, I'm going to put you on mute.
Thank you,
there's
brother.
There's another question.
Thank you, brother Akinyele. And thank you, brother Oshie, as well.
All right, brother. Peace.
Oh, man. Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Sante Sana. All right. 646-646. Good afternoon.
Hey, what's happening, Oshie and brother Alendia?
How you doing, dear brother?
Hotep, family.
I enjoyed watching you post your pictures with you and the queen on your trip, man. I could see that you and the queen really, really enjoyed yourself that you were there.
Yes, sir. It was mind-blowing, brother. I can't even, brother, I took those pictures, but my camera can't even capture, right, how powerful the experience was, brother, you know? And like I was telling Brother Oshie, I fight the European mindset every single day, you know. That's something that many of us do, you know. So when I went there, there was a strand of skepticism, you know. I was like, let me see if this really evidence, because, you know, I've been taught that, you know, the Jews, the Hebrews built the pyramids and all that stuff. So I was like, let me see if there's evidence there. There is none. All right? There is none. Or like mathematics, you know, I heard people say mathematics, you know, that the temples, the, you know, mystery schools, they taught these sciences like that, right? I saw it there with my own naked eye, you know, and I tried to take as many pictures. I took about 1,700 pictures.
Taking pictures like Renoco, man.
Oh, brother. Right. Absolutely. I'm taking pictures. I'm doing videos, you know. I'm doing the, you know, because we did our field work. The Quasis had us in the field, right? Early in the morning, we would go in the field before that heat hit. We would be in the field. We would be actually the first group out before the white before, you know, the white groups and the Arabs and the other Asian groups, we would be there before them, all right? Mm-hmm. And we would be in the field, you know, and, you know, Professor Kwesi would, you know, conduct the lectures in the field and break all this down. And the other Egyptologist, I think his name is Hamad, all right? His name is Hamad. His first name is Abdul Hamad. And they would conduct the lectures in the field, and then we would go back to the hotel or the cruise ship. We actually took a cruise on the Nile, or happy, right? The African word for the Nile is happy, right?
That's right.
And we would go back, to the conference. We'd take a little short break for lunch, and then we would go and, you know, into the conference room for the evening lectures that the Kwesis will put on. He and his wife will put on. And just mind blowing, brother. Just mind blowing. I got to go back, man. I mean, there's so much stuff that I missed. You know, I got to go back. But that, you know, my wife and I, we were blown. We still. Last night we were talking about at the dinner table. We were talking about my aunt. You know, just having a deep, long conversation about my aunt and how we come back to the States. You really see, you know, why our people are kind of off balance, because, you know, we've gotten away from that. You know, from my aunt, you know, mm-hmm. and because when you go to Kemet, you see my aunt is everywhere. It's all over. It's taught
all over.
Everywhere. Yes. Everywhere you go, you see my aunt. Everywhere. Lessons on my aunt. You know? It's just mind blowing.
The go beauty ahead, brother, is that they say once you go on one trip, you have to continuously go back to continue the studies of you know, what you were able to witness. But to have that much footage, man, you know, you just have to put it together and just use it always as a reference, and definitely something to show your students, you know what I mean? Mm. But you know, also I was glad to see that you was able to beat that COVID. Since you had the COVID and you beat it, did you take the jab?
Well, you know, brother, you know, it took me, I'll say this. It took me a minute. I didn't take it right away. I did take it, but I didn't take it right away, brother. It took me a minute to actually do it.
Now let me ask you this.
Yeah.
You know, did you get sick before the jab or after the jab?
I got sick before that. I developed what do you call it, coronavirus pneumonia, which attacks your lungs where you can't breathe, right?
Right.
And that's what a lot of people are dying from. You know, they die from the coronavirus pneumonia.
Right. That's because that's what it is. That's what coronavirus is. It's a pneumonia, and that's why for me, although I have not taken the jab and I ain't gonna take the jab, but that's me. Hold on, Jay. And on this program, and you know this, Jay, I've never promoted it, and I've never said you shouldn't take it. You know, my contention is that the only thing that this society is saying, even globally, is saying vaccine. They don't talk about vitamin D. Getting sunlight, using vitamin D, nutrition, health, exercise. Right. They don't talk about none of it. They don't, no alternative. The only thing they say is get vaccine. You know?
Right. Well, absolutely. Right.
But what I was gonna say is, you know, like I say also, if you wanna take the jab, take the jab. But you know, whenever you're dealing with the white man, just like Oshie said, they never wanna talk about alternatives, because if the truth be told, there's always a sinister motive behind what they do. And you know, now the sinister motive is those that are producing the jab are going to sell the jab around the world and make millions and millions of dollars.
Billions.
And then have you continuously take the jab and use it. But, you know, it's here nor there, man. The important thing the ancestors spared you to be able to go back home and to what you so truly wanted to do. And, you know, like I say, brother, I'm always watching as you drop jewels, man. And I'm just hoping that you can pass along this knowledge and wisdom to the babies, so that the babies could maybe get a spark to continue your legacy and what you're trying to do, brother, because I must say you are a warrior. You present yourself as a warrior, and it's always educational to watch you present, my brother. You just,
I'm humbled and inspired.
Great brother.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate you, brother.
Right on, Jay.
Oh, I always enjoy whenever you know you post, man. I really love the pictures, man. I really saw that you were there, not only as a witness, but learning and taking care of business, man. And I believe that with all of these pictures that you have, you're gonna put them to great use to educate our people. So, Hotep, brother, please take care of yourself, man.
Hotep.
And
blessings
to you and the queen and the family.
Right on, Jay.
No
thanks,
doubt,
Jay.
No doubt, brother. Hotep.
Peace to
Hotep.
You.
And you know, brother O'Shea, I'm not judging anybody who don't take the vaccine.
No doubt. Yeah.
You know, I mean, for real. And for real, because there are alternatives. There are, right? You can do vitamin C.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, vitamins.
Right.
You know,
and the main one is vitamin D. That's be a more protector of you taking vitamin D, but more importantly, even getting sunlight. In fact, they were talking about you don't go outside, stay covered. Hey man, I wear a mask everywhere I go because and especially now with this variant, the Delta variant, which they's trying to scare everybody to damn death that you don't, I'm saying no because one of the things is not just the Tuskegee experiment, but as Malcolm said. Of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward our research. Look at the history of the European coming out of the Dark Ages. Look at his behavior. Look at him going around the world, taking everybody's stuff in the name of. He didn't come to bring civilization to the world because everywhere he went, he brought destruction. And I'm saying, in fact, intentionally sometimes he brought disease. Intentionally he brought disease. So I have no trust and no faith in this system and anything Europeans do. Because number one, I'm promoting us. I'm promoting us to get our stuff together. You know, we have another caller. 404-573. Good afternoon.
Yes, Brother Oshie. Am I on?
You're on. Go ahead.
Hotep.
Sister Lumumba. Go ahead.
Thank you. First, I'd like to say I'm Hotep. And thank you to our ancestors, our predecessors, those who worked and struggled and sacrificed their lives and their prosperity for us and the knowledge that they have left for us today. Secondly, I'd like to say peace to you, Brother Renoko. May you rest in peace and power. And thank you for the beautiful legacy that you left for us, and your beautiful work is one of a kind. Next, I'd like to say, number 13, no. Next, I'd like to go to home and say what they're doing in the motherland today, Brother Nkrumah, and all of the other warriors and revolutionaries who fought for our sovereignty and our unity. Would stand up and cry.
Yeah, they rolling over. They rolling over in their grave. You're right about that, Sister Lumumba. They rolling over in their grave. All these damn traitors and just giving. I mean, it's sickening.
Collaborators.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, Sister. Teach, Sister. No doubt. Absolutely. I mean, for real. You know, they are definitely rolling over in their graves. This is why, again, we hope and we pray, right, that we connect the wisdom of our ancestors and the elders that are still left who are still fighting for the liberation of Africa and African people, that we tap into their wisdom, all right, and find the pathway, the true pathway towards Black liberation, you know? I mean, you know, I keep thinking about Dr. Clark's, what he used to always say, Pan-Africanism or perish, you know? That is so true, you know? If we don't unite, you know, to free Africa, and we don't unite to uplift our people, I mean, it's going to be over for us.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to be, what do you call it, like a permanent underclass.
Oh yeah, that's,
right.
That has been designed here, right. But in the world. But you're right. In fact, they just came out with some demography, some statistics saying that the United States, after the last census of 2020, Caucasians, and I've been saying this for they've been experiencing negative population growth for decades. This is not new, but now they're saying they're first time ever being below 60% of this nation's population. And the second population is Latinos. And the Latino dude was on the TV today saying we're going to be the dominant force in this country in the next 20 years. You know, Latinos.
Right.
But and us, at one time, we represented damn near about 15 to 18% of America's population.
Yep.
We were the number one people after Caucasians.
That's right.
Now we're near fourth because Asians are coming up fast. We only have 12%. 12% of the population of America based upon what they just stated. Now, whether you want to believe it or not, but the bottom line is that because of what's happening to us, particularly men, mass incarceration, homosexuality, brothers don't want to be with sisters, you know, substance abuse, drug addiction, and so forth. And some of these cats just plain ain't shit. You know, so I'm saying, I'm just keeping it real, bro. Right. So I'm saying to us, our future is not assured. It's not assured.
It's not
guaranteed. Yeah. We have to make it. We cannot rely on this system. We can't be constantly begging Caucasian. Brothers, it hasn't happened. It ain't happening. And damn it, it ain't going to happen. We have to do it.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. When I was going through, I think I was going through one of the airports in Kemet on my way to a part of Kemet. And I ran into a brother from Chad, you know, and I said, brother, I said, where you from? He said, Chad. So I said, brother, what's the indigenous language of Chad? And he said, French, Arabic. I said, no. I said, no, those are invaders' language. I'm talking about what's the indigenous language?
Right.
You know what he told me? He said, I don't know.
Yeah.
I was like, I was blown away by that. I said, you don't know? Mm-hmm. I said, wow.
Yeah,
man.
So
I said,
we got work
on the continent and we damaged on the continent.
We got work to do. Here.
That's right, Queen. That's right.
Yes.
Those of us who are conscious, you know, the struggle continues.
Absolutely.
And we've been 12% of the population for 20, 30 years now since the advent of abortion. We have aborted at least 17 million of our babies, of our future.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But the struggle continues, and it's because of the work of our ancestors that must continue and move forward and go home and do the work with the Bole and the elitists and those who have been colonialized mentally. We got a lot of work to do. We got a lot of work to do.
We certainly
so
do.
Sometimes I just love to just sit and listen.
All right, Queen.
Hey, OG.
All right. Yeah, Jay, go ahead.
Hey, listen, let me say this in regards to what you just said about that census situation and now that Latino is in the position that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be very clear something. And I'm sorry to say it, but I'm going to say it because it's my job to say it. That Latino's no ally.
Exactly.
If you look at what's going on in California and you see what's happening in the way that they treat our people out there in California, you know, you got to be just as leery of this Latino as you do of this saltine, no good Pepperwood. You know what I mean? Because he's just as dangerous as the white man and even more dangerous when it comes down to that violence. You know what I mean? Because they got a violent spirit within them that is like really no other. And when it comes down to us, they don't have no problems whatsoever in being murderous towards us. So, you know, when you hear these Negro peens talking about
coalitions and so forth,
and all that. You got to be real, real clear on number one, who's saying it, number two, what they saying, and how you take it in. Because if you turn your back on that Latino, That Latino will cut your throat. And he don't have no problem cutting your throat. And he'll try to make it seem as though he's doing it for the white man. But he's doing it for his damn self. So we better stay on our square and understand clearly that that's an enemy, man. He's no different than the white man. And there's those of them who know who they are. And they respect themselves, and they respect us in that manner. But when you're talking about the whole, let me tell you something. You better be on it, because I'm going to leave you with this. Everybody's out here talking about voter rights and all of this other nonsense. Why would the white man ever renew and give us voter rights again so that we could be in any type of position to dominate him, knowing that he got to feed off, the Baba Louis? Think about it. You know, these mansions, these Shinnesies, and all these other white Democrats are nothing but Republicans truly at heart when it comes to whiteness. So as long as we keep on chasing for civil rights and inclusion in the whiteness, we gonna keep on getting a foot in our ass. And it seems like they wearing size 13 instead of size 10.
Okay. Okay, brother.
Have a good
weekend, Jay. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Any closing remarks, my dear brother? We're at the top of the hour. Go ahead.
Oh, already, huh, brother?
Yeah, I
already.
Know. Time flies when you're having fun. That's why, Brother Bashir, I know school is coming up, but we got to find a way to, you know, to get you back on the program, man. You know,
no
when
doubt.
There's a,
absolutely,
when there's a break in,
brother. Anytime.
You got a break in time, so we got to get you back on the program because I enjoy our conversation. Any closing remarks?
Man, look, only thing I'm going to say is, man, know thyself, something that our ancestors taught over and over again, men and women, I would add, you know, in the spirit of my aunt, we always have to include our sisters.
That's right.
And balance, right? So, man and woman, know thyself. All right, please do what we can. I implore your listeners to do all that we can to know our history and our culture.
Yeah.
All right, pick up a book, go see a YouTube video of Dr. Alvin Sertim or Dr. Clark or Dr. Ben or Ajwa Kwesi or Shashi McIntyre or, you know, Francis Press Wilson or Dr. Marimba Ani.
I gotta go see her tomorrow, man. I gotta go see Marimba tomorrow, my good sister, beautiful sister.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I'm gonna tell you, man, her book, Urugu, to me is the Bible. That is the great, that's the Bible.
Awesome book.
Awesome. It is awesome.
Yeah.
But listen,
awesome book.
My brother, I really want to thank you again, and I really appreciate you.
Oh, brother,
and I'll continue to read you, look out to you, and we'll continue to converse with one another, man, to draw us
draw
that
strength. Yes, sir.
All right, dear brother. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful weekend. It's Marcus Garvey weekend. Go participate in something, okay? Shemhotep means go in peace. Esante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie. Bivori means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family.